Today our lesson concerns a very profitable study on what is the best source of instruction. And there's only one answer to that. The best source of instruction is the Bible, the Word of God. For the Bible itself will be the dominant theme in the next three lessons, and they begin today. So get your own Bible and turn, if you will, to the 119th Psalm, which will be the Old Testament portion of study before we go to the New Testament in 2 Timothy. But following prayer and supplication, we will commence. So let us pray. Blessed Father, we thank Thee for Thyself. We thank Thee for Thy beloved Son. We thank Thee for Thy Holy Spirit. And we thank Thee for Thy Holy Scriptures of truth. For the glory of Thy dear Son, our Savior, by the Holy Spirit today, sanctify Thy Word to both saint and sinner, we ask for the Savior's glory. Amen. The first scripture that we consider is found in Psalm 119, just one short portion of it, verses 97 through 105, a very suitable psalm in considering the subject of study, for it magnifies from beginning to the end the Word of God in all the 176 verses. It is the longest chapter in the Bible. Every verse refers to the Word of God, with the exception of but two, I verily believe. But there are various terms for the Word of God used in this psalm. Sometimes it is called by the word law, and then the word commandments, or statutes, and even sayings, and even the word way. Then there is the word testimonies, and judgments, precepts, and such like. But all of them are references to the Word of God. Psalm 119, 97 through 105. Brings before us, for our meditation, God's source of instruction as we consider it. The section brings before us the power of God's Word for the enlightenment of our path. But let me divide this section into six parts. First, the Word of God should be welcomed in our heart. Listen to verse 97. Oh, how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Said the Lord Jesus, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Friend, do you love him? If so, surely you will love his word, and God grant you will daily meditate upon it. We would ask very earnestly, is God's word welcomed into your heart? Not merely into your home, nor into your head, but in your heart. The wise man, the psalmist, in the same Psalm 119, verse 11, said, Thy word have I hid, or laid up in my heart. For the best place for God's word, the Bible, is your heart and mine. The second thing is, the word of God will give us wisdom. Verses 98 through 100, bring before us the threefold result of God's word when it's in the heart. It declares this threefold result with the reasons that accomplish each result. First of all, the psalmist says, Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies. Now what a blessed result this is, that God's word will perform this through his precious word in the heart. My beloved, in a world energized by sin and Satan, as well as humanistic teaching, does not the Christian need, not earthly wisdom, but what the Apostle James calls wisdom from above? And the man or the woman, the boy or the girl, who knows Christ as his and her Savior, certainly has access to the wisdom of God when they know the Bible. Oh, beloved, why does it give us wisdom? Please note, and it tells you how it will do it. For the reason is next given in the same verse. because thy commandments are ever with me. Meaning, thy words are ever with me. Let me ask my friend, are the Holy Scriptures always with you? The moment that one is saved, the Bible should be the constant companion of life. When but a teenager, when I served as an office boy, I recall, there were those idle moments in work. I would take my New Testament from my pocket and read. One of the company salesmen noticed it one day, and he said to me, "John, do you read the Bible when you get discouraged?" Oh, the dear fellow, he could not understand. It's the business of the Christian to read and study the Word of God and have it for a daily companion. Oh, we think of an old hymn, "Take it wherever you go. Take it wherever you go, God's message of love sent down from above. Oh, take it wherever you go." But then there's a second result in our section. "I have more understanding than all my teachers," in verse 99. Now be sure you know what kind of teachers that the psalmist is referring to. No doubt he's referring to those who receive their learning from other sources than the Bible, God's Word. The traditional teachers of this world will not straighten you out of the things of God. Well, put this in the right perspective. Note why the reason is given, as the psalmist goes on, that he has more understanding than all of his teachers. "For thy testimonies are my meditation." Once again, the derivation is the Word of God. Beloved, we ask the question, we raise it from mine own heart. Do you and I meditate? Not only read, but meditate. Like the cow, chew the cud, masticate, spiritually speaking, meditating upon the Word of God. Squeeze all that you can out of God's Word, my fellow believer. And oh, the joy of knowing. It will give you more understanding than all other teachers. But then there is a third result. Verse 100. "I understand more than the ancients." The old men, the aged. They may learn from experience, the old men, but if one meditates and feeds on God's Word constantly, it can avoid many painful experiences of difficulty in learning. May I point out to you, I wish we had time to go into the details, but read Luke chapter 2. Read the end of Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. And note the Lord Jesus, as you may remember, in the temple, speaking, answering, asking questions of the learned rabbis. Old men, and he with a boy of 12. And they marvel at his understanding. Where did he get it? My beloved, let me say, he was brought up on the book. He read the Holy Word of God. And thus he had an understanding just as much, if not even more, than those ancient old teachers in the temple. But oh, what a result. And may you and I certainly go to the Word of God for it. Now to summarize these verses, 98 through 100... let us also understand that the Word of God is what it has said. It is the source of wisdom. But then let's look at a third fact, a third consideration, in verses 101 and 102. The Word of God is to be obeyed. Will you please note these verses? There is to be a negative attitude, and there is also to be a positive attitude. First, the positive attitude. The effect of it in a positive way. "I have refrained my feet from every evil way." Abstinence from evil must accompany our knowledge of the Word of God. For the psalmist gives the motive for this when he adds, "that I might keep thy word." Well, as it has been said, this book will keep you from sinning, and sin will keep you from this book. Then note the negative attitude that follows in verse 102. "I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me." Now, once again, here is the teaching of God's Word to the believer's heart and in the believer's life. It will keep him and keep her from straying with his and her feet away from God. Oh, my beloved, please may I state, I'm sure that we all may know it, that the departure of men and women from God often begins by the neglect of God's precious Word. Oh, how many believers who have strayed from the truth of God must confess and admit they strayed and neglected the Word of God which should have been their companion. And then there's a fourth fact here. The Word of God is sweeter than all other things. Verse 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. How much of a taste, my friend, do you have for the Word of God? Said the psalmist in chapter 19 and verse 10 of this book. The Word of God is more to be desired than gold, yea, than fine gold. It is sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Oh, my fellow believer, don't lose your appetite and taste for the precious Word of God. Let it be sweet to your taste. And like Jeremiah, may you say, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they were to me the joy and the rejoicing of mine heart, for I'm called by thy name. And then, fifth, the Word of God declares, once again, that wisdom and understanding is found from it and with it, together with causing us to hate evil. Note verse 104. That tells us again, wisdom and understanding can be obtained from the Word of God. I commend to every listener the Bible. It's the greatest book in the world. And it should be for the greatest purpose, it should be in your heart, that you might not sin against God. The best book in the world, the Bible. The best place to put it in your heart, a foot deeper than your head, and for the best reason, that you might not sin against God. And then last of all, the key verse of the lesson is verse 105. The Word of God will light the path of life for you and for me. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path, writes the psalmist. Note particularly the two expressions, a lamp and a light. Why the two? Well, beloved, is not a lamp for the night, when darkness has fallen, and light, that is in the day. And surely night and day the Word of God will illumine the way and the path through this world, which is dark, for those who know the Lord. God's children can walk with a lamp in their hand along a lighted way, praise the Lord. Well, did the poet write, I have a wonderful treasure, the gift of God without measure. We will travel together, my Bible and I. Our second scripture portion of study is in 2 Timothy chapter 3, the New Testament, verses 14 through 17. The New Testament also emphasizes God's Word as being our guide, and in this particular section, and the particular book in which it is written, concerning days of spiritual declension in the days of church history. Let me title this section in the following way, The Need of God's Word in the Last Days of Christianity. I remind my listeners, there are not always going to be Christians upon the earth in the present day reckoning of God's Word as being Christians. The church is going to be taken out of this world. The church begins at Pentecost, or did begin at Pentecost. The church will end its earthly pilgrimage at the rapture. And God will take the church out of the world. And the Christians will have gone. But oh, before that closing day of the church age, there are dangers. And the need of the Word of God is even greater than ever in the last days of Christianity. And here we find Paul saying to Timothy, and exhorting him in verses 14 and 15. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Now think of Timothy. Think of his teachers. Who were his teachers? One was his godly mother, Eunice. Another was his godly grandmother, Lois. And then his blessed father in the faith, the beloved Apostle Paul. Then he also had the apostolic fellow servants of God who was with Paul and his companions. Through these godly and gifted servants of God, as well as his parents or his mother and grandmother, he had been taught. And the truth had been given with strong assurance. And Timothy is told, abide in it. Don't give it up. Oh, what a responsibility. Oh, what a joy to realize. The life of teaching that had been his, raised as a child in the sacred writings. Did it pay? Of course it did. Would to God the children of this world were taught the Bible in childhood. Train up a child in the way which he should go. And may I say, you can't do it right without the Bible. Where is the Bible today? Is it read to the children in the home? Is it read to the children in the school? My own Bible, public schooling, I recall in the country where I was born. Every day in school was the beginning of a Bible lesson and memorizing the scriptures. That in the public school system. Now the devil has cast it out of the schools. But oh, what was the result for Timothy? Made him wise unto salvation. 'Tis able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. The need of the Word of God is imperative today. We see the need of it in every direction because all men need salvation. No other book can tell you how to be saved. And then in the 16th verse, Timothy is told one of the strongest claims that the Bible is the Word of God. From Genesis through Revelation. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, truly furnished unto all good works. Consider the greatness of these words. They are supreme in their importance. And what is our responsibility in view of the words? Just as Paul exhorted Timothy, we are to hold fast to the great fact that the Bible is the Word of God. And they are the Scriptures, they are God-breathed, which is the meaning of inspiration. The breath of God is upon the book and upon it in its pages. We do not appreciate the suggestion that one may make that it only contains the Word of God, which in so doing allows anyone to choose what they think is the Word of God within it. All Scripture from the beginning to the end of the Bible, written in the original language, is the Word of God. With all the enthusiasm of an old preacher, we earnestly would say with him, though it may sound humorous, I believe this Bible is the Word of God, said the preacher from generations to revolutions. Well, you know what he meant, and so do I. Oh, listen. Note particularly the words in verse 16. The profitable instruction of the Word of God. It has a fourfold profit. First, for doctrine. And all doctrine must be founded on the Word of God. Don't come to me with any doctrine that's not founded in the Word of God. For any doctrine that is not founded in the Word of God can be called rightly from 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, the doctrine of demons. My beloved, please let me say, you don't get your doctrine from a mere seminary, from an institution, or from any ecclesiastical organization or group. You and I, who believe the Lord Jesus is our Savior, all our teaching has got to be founded upon and found in the Word of God. This is the most essential profit, for if we do not have sound doctrine, we'll not produce sound living. And then second, it's profitable for reproof, which means conviction. For if your doctrine is wrong, the Word of God will show you. And then third, the Word of God not only will reveal it, but it can correct it which certainly must follow reproof and or conviction. And then there's an ultimate consummation. It is not only profitable for doctrine. It not only reproves or convicts when wrong and then corrects to put you right, but it also will instruct you in living right. May I say, my beloved friend, you cannot live right without the Bible. You and I need the Bible to tell us how to live. And one of the greatest truths in 2 Timothy is not only sound doctrine, but sound living. Sound doctrine will lead to sound living. Unsound doctrine will lead to unsound living. Oh, the man of God is to be obedient to the Scripture in all things, and he will be complete, truly furnished unto every good work. Oh, may I close with the comment again that the best book in the world is the Bible. The best place to put it is in your heart. The best reason that you might not sin against God. But then may I quote the words Paul wrote to Timothy. It is able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. My beloved, the way of salvation alone can be found in this book. Do you want to be saved? Christ our Savior, Peter said of him, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. My beloved friend, make sure you have found God's salvation as he reveals it in and through the Bible. Father, bless thy word in our Savior's worthy name for his glory to both saint and sinner. Amen.